Are you wanting real answers for all things fitness and nutrition related? If so, you're in the right place. Our goal here on the Fitness Nutritionist Podcast is to help you navigate your journey to a healthier, happier you, one podcast episode at a time. So grab a glass of water or a good cup of coffee and tune in for today's topic. Now let's do this, y'all. Welcome back to the Fitness Nutritionist Podcast. We have Brighton Gillum with us again today. She's a licensed esthetician, and we're going to be talking all about how to keep our skin looking younger as we age. If you missed our last podcast, be sure you go back and catch that. Brighton was with us then also, where we were talking about acne and just ways to help treat that and manage that. And today, I know I'm in my 50s, Mandy's now in her 50s. And so we're very concerned about how to keep our skin looking healthy and younger as we age. So we asked Brighton to join us again today to talk about it from her side. And then we'll also be talking about it from a nutrition standpoint.
And as Brighton spoke about last episode, skin aging is a result of both that internal and external, that external being environmental factors such as the UV radiation, smoking, pollution, and of course, poor nutrition. So Brighton, why don't you talk to us about the importance of skincare as we age?
Yeah, so the number one way to not have wrinkles is to prevent. This means having a good skincare routine, seeing an esthetician regularly, and that includes listening to their advice. Estheticians are just like dietitians. If you don't listen to us, we can't help. I could give you the skin of your dreams, but you have to budget for that, and you have to listen and follow through with what I have to say. Also, that goes along with wearing your sunscreen every single day and constantly reapplying, but I'll get into that in a little bit. So let's start with the most basic routine. Step one, double cleansing day and night with the proper cleanser. I did go into detail a little bit on the last episode about different cleansers for different skin types, but I do want to talk about the importance of double cleansing. So a lot of people don't really understand whenever I say double cleansing. They think, you know, I cleanse once in the morning, once at night, that's it. That's great, but no. So I'm going to talk about morning and night really fast. So in the morning, it's important because at night, we've just layered on all of our serums. We've put on our moisturizer. So our first cleanse in the morning is basically removing that. And then our second cleanse is to get down to our actual skin. And that cleanse should work on the problems at hand. So basically, we want to use two different cleansers. In my personal routine, I love a cleansing balm or an oil cleanser as my first cleanse in the morning, and then the cream cleanser that I mentioned last time as my second. And then during a night routine, you know, after you've gone outside, even though you don't see it, you have dirt and oils on your face. And then for females, we have makeup. And so your first cleanse is basically to break down all of those dirt, oils, makeup, and all the other things. You get those off, and then you're down to your skin once again. And this one, I actually like to use a foam cleanser for my second cleanse. It's a very gentle one. So don't just go pick one up from CVS because it will probably damage your skin. But I like to do that because it's subtle exfoliation on my already very sensitive skin. But an esthetician can set you up with a good cleanser for your routine. And next is exfoliation. We talked a lot about this on the last episode, so I'm just going to quickly say exfoliation 2 to 3 times a week, non-negotiable.
So we don't exfoliate every day. Why is that?
So if you're exfoliating every day, what you're doing is you're stripping your skin of its natural oils and its moisture. And it messes with something that we call our barrier. You may not understand what that means, and I don't expect anybody to, but we have a barrier on our skin full of oils that are protecting. And that is for people who have oily and dry skin. So I understand people because I've been there. I've had dry skin, and exfoliation is key because whenever you have dry skin, you notice those flakes, and that is dead skin. You have to get those off.
Okay. I love that. But I also didn't know about the double cleanser because I would think, oh, I cleaned my face last night. Why do I have to clean it, you know, in the morning Yeah, no. So,
and then to do a double cleanser on top of that. But that totally makes sense after you explained it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I knew, like, I wash mine at night and in the morning too, but I didn't know the double cleansing it at each step. And when you were saying that, Brighton, I was thinking on shampoo bottles, it'll say
wash, rinse, repeat.
Yeah. And I will be honest and say, I often thought they were just doing that so they could sell more product.
No, it's actually really funny. Hair is the same way. I have a good friend who does hair, and she actually just made a good educational post about that and about how you do need to cleanse twice whenever you're shampooing your hair. Really important because we do have a lot of buildup on our hair. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I only wash my hair like every 4 to 5 days, so I desperately need that.
I won't say that I know much about hair because I'm not a licensed cosmetologist. But I do know that there are hair exfoliants out there and that a lot of them do recommend that you exfoliate your scalp once a week.
Oh, wow.
Because whenever those, it's a lot like with our acne, whenever you have buildup on your scalp, especially from all the products that we use, they'll cover those follicles, causing like things to stop growing. So if you're having problems with hair growth, yes, that can be due to stress, hormones, diet, all these things, but you also need to look into your hair care routine.
Yeah, well, I noticed when I started doing that finally, I noticed that first wash kind of, I think, gets the surface things off like you were talking about. And then when I do go ahead and I don't have to use as much.
It's like a real deep clean.
Second one, yeah, I get more of a lather. And so now I'm like, oh, maybe they really weren't just putting that on there. So right. Yeah, mm-hmm. I thought that.
But side note, that, have you ever tried the shampoo bars?
No, I haven't.
Oh my gosh, I love them.
I don't know much about this.
Yeah.
And then step number three is moisturizing day and night. Not all moisturizers are made equal. These are going to be like for different people for different purposes. If you have oily skin, you may like more of a gel moisturizer, and that's just you because you don't like heavy, oily feeling. But I do encourage you to always use a moisturizer, no matter what your skin type is. And if you're extremely dry, slap on that moisturizer as often as you want. And also, kind of a side note, I know that slugging has been really big on social media. If you guys don't know what that is,
no,
it's basically girls were putting Vaseline all over their face at night, thinking that it would like ultra hydrate them in the morning. Oh, no. I'm here to kind of debunk that. So Vaseline is not comedogenic. Nobody understands what that means. It won't cause acne. Vaseline won't clog your pores necessarily, but we need to understand what it does is it traps in moisture. So if you're putting Vaseline on your face with no moisture underneath it, it's not putting anything into your skin. So if you're going to do this and you really want to, not saying I encourage it, but you need to put on a good moisturizer before and then put that on. And if you don't want to use Vaseline, which I wouldn't recommend, I do have a cell protection balm that is a lot like that, but it's made for this. So you guys can find that at the link in my bio, but I just wanted to talk about slugging really fast because that has been.
And I actually use that cell
protection balm.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. And then step number four is wearing your sunscreen every day and reapplying every 2 hours. I get that people think it's silly to reapply every 2 hours, but I promise you it's worth it.
Is that even over your makeup?
Yes. So the way that I kind of get around that is I sell Skin Better Science, and they have come out with this technology called the Tone Smart SPF Compact. I love this product because the Tone Smart technology, once you put it onto your skin, it adapts to your color. And so it comes with a sponge inside of there. It comes with a cute little mirror. It's going to last you forever. And it's a little bit creamy, but not too creamy. And you can put it right on over your makeup and it does not move it at all. So I know that people don't want to be slathering wet sunscreen on their face. So a lot of people will try to use spray on, and that's just not it for your face. And so I highly recommend that, not trying to sell a product, but it really is the only thing on the market like it. So I do recommend that.
And I just ordered that. So I'm hoping to get that in soon.
Yeah.
So but speaking of sprays, what about the little misters that you can like refresh your face with? What are those called?
So what she's talking about is she's talking about skin mist. Since I was just talking about the most basic routine, I was going to leave those out. But if you're going to go into a little bit more of an advanced routine, I would definitely recommend that you have a skin mist. And when I say this, I'm not talking about toner. I would love for everybody to throw the word toner out the door. Because if you are using witch hazel on your face, especially if you have dry skin, witch hazel is an astringent.
Most
toners are astringents. So I hate that word. Whenever I suggest skin mist to people, I love the CBD B3 mist from Glymed Plus. I also retail that, but it is a staple in people's skincare routines, especially if you're sensitive. It's incredible. If you have rosacea, it's really great for the redness. It's very soothing. There's another one, and I believe it's just refreshing. It's great for everybody. Both of them really are. Skin mist, you can't really go wrong unless you're going towards an astringent. Just stay clear of those unless you're on an acne boot camp routine.
Stephanie, you're going to have to try that. We were just talking about redness in our skin this morning when we were getting ready. So that may be a great product.
Yeah. So the first step was the double cleanse. Mm-hmm. The second step is
exfoliation.
And the third is
moisturizing.
And then
sunscreen.
The fourth is sunscreen.
Yes. And there's always room in these routines to add in your serums, your specialty mist, everything that you want. I do recommend everybody over the age of 22 probably to be on a retinoid. If you haven't heard of Skin Better Science, it is the top of the line medical grade skincare. And they have a product called AlphaRet. It's a retinoid, but it's its own technology. It's incredible. It's gentle enough for everybody. Trust me when I say this, guys, I've had sensitive dry skin. When I was in esthetician school, there's one point where they put water on my face and it stung and burnt. So I know sensitive skin, and you can use this. So there's a retinoid for everybody. Also, talking about redness, I also have a product called Alto Defense that pairs perfectly with it. And Alto Defense is a vitamin C, and working in skincare, I mean, I know about vitamin C, and I know that you guys know about vitamin C. So I'm sure that y'all could tell me all the benefits of it, but vitamin C is great for redness. So if you notice that you have uneven skin tone, it's great for that. It's also an antioxidant. It's really great for protecting its environmental factors. And they go perfectly together. For vitamin C, you'll use it day and night. AlphaRet, you would use it only at night. They're really simple. I know that serums can seem really scary, but they're not. Especially if you have somebody setting up your routine for you and telling you how to do it.
Now, I have a question, Brighton. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, and I think our listeners know, we're in our 50s. So if you see a product that is labeled anti-aging or guaranteed to reduce wrinkles, is that legitimate? Or is that, if something's labeled organic or non-GMO, are there any labels or laws?
Labeling guidelines.
Yeah.
So
where, like, I could grab that and know that, oh, I'm going to have less wrinkles, or is that a marketing ploy that I'm falling for?
Well, there's marketing ploys, and then there are things with the FDA that they let slide. And that is one thing that I'm a little bit disappointed with in skincare, is that with a lot of these drugstore brands and big name companies that aren't sold by doctors and estheticians, they do claim things like anti-aging. Those are marketing ploys. But then there's things that they let slide, like fragrance. Fragrance is terrible for your skin. We shouldn't be having fragrance in any of our products, if so, very few. So those are different. But on the anti-aging subject, I don't want to say I hate it, but I kind of hate it. Anti-aging is not the way to market to people who have fine lines and wrinkles. Mm-hmm. Because just like you can't go back a year in age, you can't go back from having sun damage. Because whenever I think aging, I think sun damage. So wrinkles, you can go through treatments to fix them. You can prevent them. The best way is to prevent. But if you already have them, the best thing to do is get on a good skincare routine. Because even though you may not see a huge difference of reduction at first, you are still preventing. But then you also need to get with somebody about professional treatments. You know, there's microneedling, there's lasers, there's dermaplaning. There are so many things out there right now that can help. And yes, I will say that we can reduce a lot of things, but I don't want to give people unrealistic ideas.
And last question I have, are there any certain, like you mentioned vitamin C, did you mention like a retinol? Is there anything that our listeners can know to look for that their moisturizers or something should contain? Is that a legitimate question or is that, again, on a case-by-case basis?
Well, that's a great question. For the most part, people aren't going to understand every ingredient that's in something at the drugstore. But what you can do is you can talk to your esthetician. You can decide what your skin type is and what your concerns are, because there are certain things in products that you need, just like we were talking about astringents. Astringents are for people with oily, acneic skin. So if an esthetician saw that person and they wanted a product, they're going to prescribe them a different product than they would somebody who's trying to prevent aging or trying to reduce their aging. So yes and no.
And also don't get overwhelmed when you first start going to an esthetician or that licensed professional, because they may want to put you on a bunch of different products, but just be realistic with them. Just say, hey, I want to start with 3 products or whatever, and then work your way to building up that, because you don't want to buy all the stuff and then get super overwhelmed and not use it. Like, I'm still building my, you know, regimen that I work on night and day.
Yeah. And that's really important. And just from in the treatment room standpoint, we've been taught to give everybody the best advice that we can. If you need a full routine, we prescribe it. But we also need to know your budget. We need to know what your routine is now, because if you go from 0 to a 10-step routine with all these serums, that's going to be hard on you. So for the most part, we prescribe it so that you know what your end goal is for a routine. But we want you to start out with that cleanser, that sunscreen, then add on a moisturizer and an exfoliator. And then we want you to add on your serums, and we want you to get into it, but we're going to take you slowly. So that's why it's really important to work with a professional.
Yeah, because just like us, we want you to be successful and whatever regimen you do, whether, you know, when we're talking about diet and exercise, we always say start out really slow. Don't make huge changes overnight. So I think you're basically saying the same thing.
Yeah. And that hits home with me too, because like I'm terrible about my skincare. I mean, I wash my face in the morning at night. I don't go to bed with makeup on, but I do get overwhelming. Like I've had people recommend, and I'm like, listen, I'm going to wash and I'm going to moisturize. If you give me 5 things to do, it is. But it puts me in that position of like the clients that I work with, you know, when they come to me, because I've been doing nutrition and exercise for so long, you can forget how overwhelming that can be. Yes. And like Brighton said, too, with the skin, that's the same with us. If someone comes to us, oh, well, what should I eat? Well, we need to know what is your end goal.
Yeah.
And what have you been doing?
Right.
And then making those small steps to get to where you are. Like I had a client sign up for my program 3 weeks ago. And then she messaged me last week and she's like, I think I just need to stop. Life has gotten crazy. It's gotten overwhelming.
That's when you need it most.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we talked through that. And I'm like, listen, life is always going to happen. But my job as your nutrition coach is to help make this manageable. We break this down.
Right.
And so I asked her, what is your one biggest struggle right now? You know, she's got several. She wants to lose weight. She wants to get more energy. She wants to exercise more, but you have to prioritize. And she told me what her one biggest thing is. And then we talked about it and worked out 1 to 2 manageable steps. And then by the end of it, she's like, well, that doesn't seem overwhelming. No, I don't want to pause. I know I need to do this. So it's the same principle when you're trying to make a change with
yeah. And that kind of leads me into saying, this has been a huge topic on social media lately, amongst estheticians, at least, is that estheticians are not trying to get your money. We sell these products because we believe in these products. If I just wanted to make some money, I would not be giving you products that are going to last you forever. You know, honestly, if I wanted to make money, I'd probably be giving you products that destroyed your face so you can keep coming back. But that's not how we do it. Just like dietitians, estheticians take their clients' results to heart. Like that, I take that personally.
Right.
Because if I have a client who their skincare routine and their treatment plan is not helping them, I reevaluate because that is a big deal. That's my job. I take it seriously because their results affect me. It is recommended to see an esthetician once a month for facial treatments and evaluation. What this means is, yes, every 4 weeks you need to be going in to see your esthetician because they need to physically touch your skin to understand what you're going through. I mean, they need to evaluate it so that they can put together that routine. This is important because they will be able to look and choose those products for your concerns. Skincare is not a one size fits all. And we've gone into that a lot in this episode, but you do need a professional to set up your routine for you. I understand that there's a lot of information out there on Instagram and TikTok. And a lot of people like to go to the ordinary products and start grabbing all the serums and the little peels. That will never work for you. You are doing more harm than good. So go to a professional. The reason that is important for you to come back to your professional is because over time, your skin concerns will change and so will your routine and treatment plan. I've seen so many clients come to me for acne. We treat their acne and now they're on the anti-aging age prevention train and they need a whole new routine to accommodate their new skin. So you have to keep up with your skin. The same plan's not going to always work for you. And I cannot say enough that drugstore products will not get you actual results. I'm a professional. I'd love to be able to tell you that a $10 treatment and cleanser would work, but it just won't. And I'm not going to give you those expectations and I'm not going to ruin your skin. So I'd rather you buy a $20 one from a professional that will work because in the long run, you're going to save money by investing in something good. Some of those products from the drugstore, yeah, a cleanser could clean your face off. I mean, yeah, it's soap and water, but some of them will do more harm than good. I'm sure a lot of people have seen the jokes online about the St. Ives exfoliation products, the apricot scrub, terrible for your face, like will cause micro tearing in your skin. And people don't understand that. I know so many teenagers who use that and think it's incredible. It's terrible.
I think we feel like as consumers, if we buy something in the store, then we just automatically assume it's safe, you know, not understanding all the different ingredients and, you know, like maybe our dry skin, oily skin, then that's when we're doing more damage to ourselves because we're not understanding what the products are.
Yeah. So kind of like I was talking about earlier, whenever you're shopping at the store for stuff like that, you have to remember, like I said, estheticians don't just want your money. They want you. They want you as a client. They want to help you. Now, big name stores and companies like Neutrogena, Olay, they don't care about you. They don't know you as a person. All they want to do is make money. They want to pop out their cheap product. They want you to use it. They don't care if it hurts your skin because they want their money. And that's just all it is.
Wow. I love this. It's all really great information.
So all that kind of to say, please invest in a professional skincare routine and follow a proper routine. And on top of that, with the whole following it, I can only give it to you. I can only give you the treatments. I can't help what you do at home. I could give you a chemical peel, but if you don't go home and wear sunscreen, you could burn your skin off. It's 50% you, 50% the professional. And you have to remember, it's the exact same way with your health. If you're going to talk to a dietitian, they can only give you all of this advice and this information. You have to follow it if you want to actually see results.
And I like the point. So if I understood you correctly, you're saying if like this topic is on the anti-aging and helping, so there's not really a miracle cream that's necessarily going to erase all the wrinkles. But there's things we can do to maybe smooth them out a little bit or prevent further wrinkles. But then there's procedures that can be done, like you mentioned, the microneedling or something that could be, that could help with the wrinkles that we already have.
Yeah, for sure. And I know that this is going to sound funny since I just kind of contraindicated myself, I guess. If I was going to say there was one cure-all product, it's going to be a retinoid. A retinoid is going to be incredible for preventing and kind of getting rid of those fine lines. So everybody please get on a retinoid, because that is the closest thing to a magic potion as you're going to get.
It's going
to
minimize. It's not going to get rid of. It'll just minimize, right?
I mean, with proper use, it could get rid of.
Oh, okay. Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you, Brighton.
Yeah, all great information. And I know Stephanie wants to know what her regimen is before you leave today. So as we've discussed in previous episodes, the importance of foods and that they are rich in antioxidants. So let's review some of those really quickly, because obviously diet does affect how our skin is.
Yeah, so I think Brighton did a great job with telling us how to prevent that anti-aging, or not prevent, but treat and minimize it in the future. But we do know that diet can play a role. There's lots of foods that we can eat that can help us. So let's real quick run through some of those. And she's helping from the outside. Let's now talk about some of the things we can eat to get on the inside and keep it healthy from the inside out. So some of these that we'll run through really quick is garlic. Garlic can help reduce wrinkle formation by protecting against collagen damage. And we all know collagen is necessary to keep skin looking its best. And as we age, collagen does tend to break down. But there's some research that shows that garlic can help protect against collagen damage. So put a little garlic in when you're sauteing something up. So
yes, or put a lot in. That's what I do at home. Acai berries, they have antioxidants, and they'll help prevent cell mutation, which helps with those lines and those wrinkles.
Yeah, chia seeds, these are great. Like, you can put these in smoothies or things like that. They're rich in omega-3s. And eating these types of healthy fats can support the skin barrier. And Brighton did a good job talking about that barrier on our skin. So, and as we run through these, you'll kind of see an underlying factor here of antioxidants and these healthy fats.
Yeah. So a couple of my next favorites are cinnamon and oregano, which actually all these foods are my favorites, but those two are really powerful. Powerful concentrated sources of antioxidants. And these antioxidants act to quench the damaging effects of those free radicals.
Yeah, which we need that. Another one is celery and cucumbers. They help give your skin a youthful look. They contain silica, which is an ingredient that boosts moisture and elasticity. So those are great.
Blueberries, again, another one of my favorites. I can just eat them raw, throw them in a smoothie. Mm-hmm. I can do so much with blueberries. Love them. Which we know that they're rich in antioxidants. They help combat damage from those free radicals, from the UV rays and the pollution, which these free radicals can contribute to premature aging of the skin.
Yeah. And then citrus fruits, we know that these are all great sources of vitamin C, such as red peppers, kiwis, broccoli. Vitamin C, again, you'll hear this, that's an antioxidant, and it's required for the synthesis of collagen in our skin and other tissues. So like, you'll see serums and things like that that have vitamin C in them, but it's also pretty easy to get this in our diet.
Exactly. Red kidney beans, again, rich in antioxidants, and they're a great source of prebiotic fiber. So I found that pretty interesting. Tomatoes, they are rich in lycopene. And then Stephanie, talk to us about almonds.
Yeah, so almonds, they have beneficial fats in them and antioxidants. So there was an experiment, a small one that was done with some volunteers, and they consumed a daily snack of almonds for 4 months. And after the end of that 4 months, that group who had consumed the little serving of almonds mm-hmm. daily actually had a reduction in the severity of their wrinkles.
That is
crazy. So I'm going to go buy me a big old bag of almonds from Sam's and start eating some every day.
Right. So there are so many more foods that we could have included in this list. So we just want you to know this is not inclusive. There's so many other fruits and vegetables that contain antioxidants and other things that would be so good for your skin.
Yeah. So I hope you found today's episode helpful. You heard from our licensed esthetician talking about the things we need to be sure that we're including in our skincare routine. We'll also put a link to her products. If you're interested, I'm going to have to take a look at those. And then also addressing that from a nutrition standpoint. So like Mandy said at the very beginning, there are those external factors that come into play and then those internal things that we can do to where you're treating it. Because I don't know about you, but I did not care about my skin when I was younger. I really did take for granted that natural formation of collagen and the elasticity. I didn't wear sunscreen. In fact, I would put baby oil and lay out.
I was about to say that. We would use Crisco and baby oil to lay out.
Oh my gosh. That is sun tanning this. Crazy.
Yes, I've done that too. So just knowing that, you know, there are things you can do. And this is something that I preach all the time. As we age, our body does undergo changes, but that doesn't mean that we can just sit back and that there's nothing we can do, because we have all these tools about all these different things. So that was the point of today's podcast, just letting you know, because the skin is important and how we look often affects how we feel. And it's important to maintain your skin. And we talked about like wearing your hat if you're outside, wearing your sunscreen, and then being sure that you're getting lots of antioxidants in your diet. So thank you for joining. And on our next podcast episode, we're going to be talking about
back to school
routines,
healthy lunch, breakfast for back to school routines.
Yeah. And if you could be sure to scroll down on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating, please write us a review. And that way it'll help other women be able to find the podcast easier. So thanks for joining in today. We hope you enjoyed today's episode and that you gained a little more info to help you along your journey to your best life. We would love it if you would take just a minute to rate this podcast and share it with your family and friends. And as always, let us know if you have anything you would like us to talk about on any future episodes.
And don't forget, go to the Fitness Nutritionist Corner, our private Facebook group, where we'll have those fun challenges. We'll answer your questions and support women along their journey to a better health.
You can also contact us on our website at thefitnessnutritionist.com. And that's nutritionist with an S. And just remember, ladies, you are worth it.